Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course.
Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
What's going on, everybody? This is Dave Destruction Sturcio here. Episode 40. And this is a retake. That's right. I recorded a 40-minute angry, bitter podcast before this. And I couldn't live with that. I couldn't sit there and say, I can't believe the things I just said. Because I listened back real quick and I didn't want to go that route. I will say some of the stuff that I had previously. I will. But I feel like I'm not as mean as I wanted it to be. That's not right. I'm not as mean as it came off. And I'm not. But what's going on? I hope everybody's enjoying their week. This is episode 40 of Destruction 101. I'm your host, Dave Sturcio. I've been your host for 40 episodes now, and it's been quite the year. It really has. And I'm just like looking at myself and, you know, looking around this office, and as I'm recording, I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing this again. I can't believe it. If I had the raw footage, I would send it over to somebody just so they can hear it. But I couldn't stomach it. I tried. I really did. I was like, you know what? It's time to let them all have it. And like I said, I'll touch on a couple things. Excuse me. I'll touch on a couple topics that I've definitely touched on in the previous 40 minutes. But yeah, episode 40, we've had a pretty cool run so far. It's our first year of doing this. I say our as if that's not fucking just me. So I've been doing this since January. I got the idea when I got my MacBook. I was like, oh, you know, the Wizards do it off a MacBook. Why can't I? So I started in January. I've had some pretty cool episodes. Early on, I really cracked down on some certain people in other promotions that were just wrong, and they were just bad people. And I've also interviewed some of my best friends, Chris Payne. Congratulations, by the way, to you and Michelle for your new baby boy. Other congratulations are in order for Craig Steele, the big deal. He and his wife also just had their baby boy, Austin. Which is so cool. It really is. It puts a lot in perspective. And just when you thought that like life can suck for a little while, you know, you see the birth of a new kid and you see a family grow a little bit and you're like, wow, you know, like that's pretty fucking cool. So congratulations to some of my best friends. We've had other episodes on here where I've interviewed Grimm from Grimm's Toy Show, and I don't regret the interview itself. I regret, I love the fact that I got a shitload of followers on Twitter off of that episode, but I kind of regret praising what they do over there. It might work for certain people, and it does. I mean, the beach bums are making waves over there, and I guess that's a play on words. Job security is doing their thing over there, and you can thank Jimmy Controversy or Officer James for that. I mean, it's like I said, it's its own entity, it's its own thing, and to each his own. And I, like I said, not my flavor of wrestling. Just like I've been on record to say that deathmatch fighting and shit like that is not my flavor of wrestling. It's just not. And that's okay. Everybody has their flavor. Everybody has their opinions on certain things. And that's where this whole thing starts. You know, as the year winds down, 2017 has been fucking incredible. And I'm not one of those new year, new me, you know, like when January hits. But, you know, with it being busy and you know, this Friday and Saturday, if you're not doing anything, you want to come support WrestlePro, do that. We're in Brooklyn on Friday, and then we're on, we're back in Rahway on Saturday. So do that. Come support me. Come support the boys. Come support a great independent professional wrestling product. And I say that with all, like, just utter most respect for everybody involved, from Kevin to Pat to Moff to Mo to everybody. We put on a great show every single time. There hasn't been a show where we walked out, we're like, ugh, that was a dud. Never. Not in the first year, not in the first year and a half. You know, we're celebrating our 2 years, I believe, in March of next year. More details to follow. There's a lot of cool shit going on of next year. So, yeah, so as this year ends, you know, we got the Wawa's coming up, which I believe tickets are on sale or will be on sale soon for the public to come. It's a very good time. You get to drink with all of us and see me drunk. But it's a good time. Good little holiday party to start off the holidays. The holidays and certain thing, my job, my day job, and my relationship at home with my wife, it all took a fucking disastrous turn within the last 48 hours, and it's to nobody else's fault but my own. And it's because I sat there and I let somebody affect me so much that it made me question every single move that I've been making for the last year and a half, or even, you know, 11 years or whatever, 10, 11 years of being a broadcast hopeful, you know? So what had happened was Monday morning I woke up and I saw the same thing that some of you listeners probably see on the regular, and it really fucking lit a fire under my ass because I'm so tired of it. And it's very common. It needs to go away and people need to start earning their spots a different way. And it's the whole tag a promotion you'd like to see me work in, you know, and it comes from, you know, it's a, like I said, I've heard that it worked for a couple and that's fucking great. You know, I don't care, you know, but I'm saying some of the ones that are tagging these things or doing these tag a promotion gimmicks, they're not good. They're not good at wrestling. They're not good at marketing themselves. So this is a last-ditch effort to fucking have somebody know them because they're not known on their own. Whenever I've wanted to work for a certain company, and I've worked for some cool companies, I've worked for some shit companies, but whenever I've wanted to reach out and work for other companies, I've shot a message to the promoter, and I introduced myself. I don't send them a bunch of fucking 8x10s. I talk to them like they're fucking human beings. I don't sit there and be like, well, I've done this, and I've wrestled here, and I've announced here, and I'm a Final Fourist for the fucking Nets tryouts. Like, I don't boast. I say, hey, listen, I'm this guy here, and I like to expand. I was wondering if you're in the market for a new ring announcer or new commentator or whatever the case may be. You can ask Joe Bellini of Warriors of Wrestling. I reached out to him, and he said they're all set right now. Okay, that's it. Not like, oh my God, wait, I didn't get booked. Oh no, but I don't have a full wrestling schedule or announcing schedule. What shall I fucking do? Oh, okay, I'll draw attention to myself and I'll fucking put on a tagger promotion and make sure I can fucking introduce myself in a way, way farther away chance and style than just hitting somebody up like a fucking human being and talking. Talking like two humans, two men to man. But instead, you do the lazy route. And I saw that. And then I went on Twitter and I saw a tweet from a colleague. And I literally saw the tweet and I said, oh, man, I mean, like, it's notable and it's good. But at the same time, is it? You know, and I was like, fuck, man, maybe this guy, as talented as he is, needs to focus on a certain amount of companies and really perfect his craft at a certain amount of companies that he might get noticed before he goes to the alphabet soup of the independents and hit the road and drive 5.5 hours and fucking go wind yourself up in Buffalo or Deep Space Nine in fucking Pennsylvania or something. So I wasn't knocking his ability. It was just saying, hey, here's a little bit of advice from somebody who thinks I might know a little something. I've been in this business for half a decade, and I've been around broadcasting for 11 fucking years. I think I know how to get a little bit noticed, okay? So all I wanted to say is, hey, man, know your worth, buddy. You know, just do your fucking thing. I get it. I understand what you're doing, but just do it differently. Boom. The fire fucking started, and it really turned my whole day into a downward spiral fucking misery, like Dilly Dilly, Pit of Misery kind of shit. I was fucking hurting all day. And it was only because I stooped to a level where I thought, you know what? Fuck him. He wants to come at me with this shit, you know? Because then I said, you know, he had chimed in on the tag of promotion because I made a status about it. I do that. I'm a social media guy. I am on social media a lot. So when I make a status or I fucking have a joke to tell or a fucking story to tell, I'm going to fucking tell it. So if something rubbed me the wrong way, I'm going to post about it. So he chimes in and I lost my shit. I lost my cool. I said a lot of personal things and I shouldn't have. And I deleted everything and got rid of it. And, you know, I got a message and he laid into me. And it was so harsh to me. It was so harsh because I guess I've been used to for the last year or so or year and a half or however long I've been doing the ring announcing and the commentary and all this other shit ever since I stopped wrestling. I was getting a lot of positive feedback. So for me to hear some negative fucking feedback really threw me for a loop. It really did. And, some of the things that were said were very harsh. And I replied the same way. It was a heated argument between two alpha males who think they're fucking good at what they do. So then styles will clash. And that's just the way it's going to happen. Since then, apologies were delivered. Me first, because I'm not that kind of guy where I fucking just lash out at somebody and say, go fuck yourself, and I never talk to him again. I'm not that kind of guy. I don't like to make enemies. I haven't had an enemy in wrestling in like 3 years, you know, or however long. I mean, enemies are people that are significant to you. Like, there's no, if I fucking hate a guy on the indies, it's not an enemy. It's just me thinking that you're dog shit and you shouldn't be fucking wrestling, which there's plenty of those. We know that. But a lot of cursing on this episode, so I'm sorry for the fragile eared. But at the same time, like, words were exchanged and it made me question my ability. And I've never had to do that. I've had people tell me how good I am for a long fucking time. I've had my mother fucking tell all her friends, I don't care what job Davey has, he's gonna make it. He's the next John Madden. He's the fucking voice, blah, 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 blah. You know, he's so good. He's so talented, blah, blah, blah. But then, like, she loves my brother more. It just, it happens. But anyway, you know, you get the smoke blown in your ass. You do. You get your head blown up a little bit, and it feels good. It feels good that people notice that you're decent at what you're trying to do or trying to accomplish. You know, I just had like an epiphany again, like in that frame. I'm like, I can't believe I deleted 40 minutes of content. But listen, like I said, going back to this argument, it made me question myself. And that's something that I haven't done in a very, very long time because I think I'm good at what I do. There's people that have told me that. I get it. But then, like, you had some kind of accolades where, you know, you do the Nets tryout, okay? The Brooklyn Nets, the fucking NBA franchise, okay? And they tell you, you're in the final four of 400 people that came out on a fucking random Thursday to try out to be the new voice of the Nets. So you're in the final four. Boom, they take the rug, sweep that shit right out from under me and say, sorry, dude, you did great. You were actually fucking 3 seconds from being hired, but my man over here from Cleveland just stepped down from his position, so we're going to give it to the homeless guy. All good. No sour grapes. It's all fucking good. What did that do? That opened doors. Michael Lyons of BMG in New York City, you know, not to name drop, but fuck it. I'm working with him now. He's an agency where it's talent and it's acting and it's models. And I don't fit the bill for the model, but my voice might make him some fucking money. So that's what in turn, and it'll make me money too. So I'll be doing voiceover work. And I just recorded my demo with J-Rock, James Sorge. I'm sorry. Yeah. J-Rock, my man, my fucking MC friend from, he's also on 98.9, that's gonna kill 98.5, I don't know, whatever the fucking hit music station is for Down the Shore, he's the DJ, he's one of the disc jockeys, and he's fucking phenomenal, so go give him a follow and a shout and all that good shit. We just put a reel together, we just did that, he's gonna be editing that for me, okay, favors here, favors, and we'll get into that in a little bit, as far as favors are concerned, but, you know, voiceover work will be coming my way. My buddy CJ Westcott of Charles Westcott Entertainment, CWE, has hired me, brought me on, got me all set up, ready to rock and roll for 2018. There's going to be weddings, there's going to be corporate events, there's going to be galas, there's going to be all sorts of shit where they're going to need a guy to talk and talk well and enunciate and all that other good shit. And obviously not curse, but, you know, do well for his business so he can make money. So in turn, once again, I can make money. Okay, so the things stem. Things stem, right? So everything's been going my way. So for me to hear that, you know what? Maybe you're not as good as what you fucking think. Or maybe you shouldn't have been on that boat during the summer while I'm making towns. And I'm like, oh, shit, you know? And there was a knock saying that maybe I'm okay with just working once a month. And that's not a knock on WrestlePro. That's just saying that that's the schedule for WrestlePro. We run once a month. Battle Club Pro runs once every 3 to 4 months. So if you think about it, the volume of work is not there for me. But the quality is above and beyond the rest of the shit that's on the independents. And that's what, bottom line, that's exactly what I was trying to do, is just trying to make him avoid working the shittier companies. Now, I understand that you might have friends at certain companies, or you might think that this could lead to other shit. Sometimes it does. Okay, sometimes it leads to other opportunities. I get that. Look what happened with the Nets thing, and when that video surfaced and all that other shit. It happens. I get it. We can have a disagreement. We could have handled it a little better. But again, I question my own ability. So over the last 24 hours, 48 hours, whatever, I've been a miserable prick. And like I said to you 3-4 times already in this episode, I deleted basically me yelling for 40 minutes about how I've done. And it segues into to what I'm going to be doing in 2018. Now, 2018 obviously is going to be stacked with voiceover work, CWE work, and my work that I work, you know, my 7:30 to 2:30, my school day or whatever. That's going to be filling my schedule, okay? However, and this is not, again, don't take this as a shot or a knock or anything like that, but in 2018, if you thought that your spot on commentary or your ring announcing spot, and I'm not just directing it at him, I'm directing it at every single independent wrestling promotion that is going right now, that has a ring announcer, that is not me, I'm coming for you. Okay? It's not a threat. It's just that I know I'm good. And if I show them my stuff on a fucking reel or a demo or whatever, chances are I will be taken. Now, is my price going to be fucking skyrocketed? No, I'm not. I know how the indies work, man. I'm not fucking, I wasn't born yesterday, and I didn't just get here yesterday as far as being on the wrestling scene. I get it. Certain places can pay you certain things. There's always, you know, the gates affected some people's prices. Well, envelope's a little light, brother. You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that has happened, and I get it. But I've kind of got a fucking spark and a little bit of a fire lit under my ass that in 2018, you're going to be seeing a lot more of me. And that might piss a couple people off. And that's totally cool with me. Because I'm at the gym today. Yeah, that's right. At the gym, bettering myself and trying to look the part. And trying to fucking not feel like a bag of shit anymore. So I'm at the gym and I'm doing cardio after I did the Silva system, which is Jay Silva's workout plan. That's right. He's got his own workout plan. The guy's dropping pounds like it's fucking every second. He's got another pound down. So I'd like to do that. But sorry for the sniffles. I haven't sniffled all day, so I don't know why this is happening now. But anyway, I'm at the gym and I watched the new special on the WWE Network with Corey Graves and Roman Reigns. And he says at the end, and it's going to, I wish I can kind of tattoo it on my forehead to remind myself every day that you have to, if you want to get a little ahead in professional wrestling, or, and I guess any line of work, you got to be a little selfish. And I haven't been selfish. In fact, I've helped a lot of people. I've promoted people. I've done everything you've asked me to do. Every time you shot a message to me, hey man, can you post this on the WrestlePro page? Or hey man, can you fucking tweet this out or retweet this or give my fucking YouTube a thing or whatever? I've done that, man. I'm doing that. Okay, and this is not a knock on Kevin or Pat, but they're not going to take the time to do that. They're fucking busier than I am. So it's me. Social media Sturcio, as Pat Buck put it on the Pat Buck WrestlePro Show podcast. Go check that out as well. But he put that, you know, he says that. Like, social media Sturcio, he's on all the time. He's doing that. He's doing that kind of shit. He's helping others. You know, you make a YouTube video to your 200 subscribers on or followers on Twitter. Don't worry, I got this. I'll fucking retweet it to 8,000 people so they see what's going on. I do that for people. But yet you still have complainers. You still have people like, well, you know, I'm booked on Friday and Saturday, but Sunday, boo-hoo, I don't have a booking. What should we do? Oh, my God, the world's going to fucking end. It's not. It's not. Promote yourself. Go to a show. Help out. Bring in a fucking chair. And maybe you'll get booked. Me, personally, I don't have to go that route anymore because I'm not wrestling anymore. I know it's a different dynamic. I know it's a different beast when you have to promote yourself. And I never had to do that because I was very complacent and satisfied with working with Pro Wrestling Syndicate at one point, turned Wrestle Pro, and then when I go to Battle Club Pro, they give me the fucking freedom to do my thing and enjoy myself just like every other promotion should, but don't. And you know, you knock that I only work a certain amount of time. I work for the better companies, man. You know, you refer to it and people refer to WrestlePro as a machine right now. That's exactly what the fuck it is. And I'm the voice of that machine. So excuse me if I'm not working for fucking XWAC12 or whatever the fuck they're called everywhere else. I don't need to. I don't need to, man. That's not going to do me any good. What good is it if you find yourself on a bigger scale and all of a sudden, you know what? I'll go to this promotion. I know there's 14 people with about a total of 14 teeth, but I'm going to go to this promotion and I'm going to fucking get dressed and do the drive and fucking look good and sound good and do amazing things for people to not know or give two shits about you at the end of the day. That's why I limit where I'm at. I find the quality stuff. I would like to work for a wrestle circus out in Texas. I would like to work for House of Glory and get David Adams out of there and then just ruin his life completely because that's all he's got left. But I would like to go to a House of Hardcore with Tommy Dreamer and Bull James and all those guys. I would like to do that. And I still have aspirations to do that. But those are the bigger platforms. I shoot high. There's no reason. There's no reason for you to waste your time and talent and driving miles and gas and all this other shit for the companies that aren't going to do anything for you in return. And like I said, I'm going to make this general as fucking possible. That is not a stab at one said individual. That's for anybody. That's for anybody, man. I've been in some shitty locker rooms, dude. There's like to wrestle for. I mean, come on, man. Like. Look, Rob Fury and the SWF, they have done their thing, and I commend them for being around still. I really do. That means Rob is determined to, no matter how many people knock him down or try to expose him on Bad Wrestlers Exposed or whatever the fuck other website or you know, negative shit, he keeps coming back. Why? Because he's got guys that are loyal to him. Guys like Bull James, Sandman, fucking Gene Snitsky, fucking these named talents, Kyle the Beast. You know, like, those guys are good. They're very good. Bull James is one of my favorite people in the world. You know, but like, then you have your other side of the locker room where everybody's in either a black singlet or jorts, which are jean shorts for those who don't know what that is. But the untrained, talentless fucking losers of independent wrestling are just wasting time and taking people's spots. And it's not fucking fair to those who train the right way. I won't be, you know, it's funny because, like I said, don't mean to be mean, but if you don't have the proper training, and I don't want to hear, well, I took seminars, and I have 87,000 matches. Dude, you're not CM Punk, okay? You're not self-fucking training yourself. In a day and age where wrestling schools are pivotal, go to one. Stick with one. Don't quit because you're not getting shined on the fucking first 10 minutes you're there. Just stick with it. I cringe when I see graphics. I really do. Some people are just way ahead of the game, and they have no right to be there. But again, I'm not going to tell anybody how to run their business. Not a shot in hell. It's not my style. It's not my game. I won't do that. I will give you advice. I will try to help you. You know, but you know what? Not for nothing. And I just contradicted myself because in 2018, I'm done helping people, man. I'm done. I've gotten more people in the door at WrestlePro, and people just get to you know, show off their shit. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. Ask Carlos of Battle Club. How many times did I jump down his throat about Matt McIntosh and Bowens and fucking Dan Moff and all these guys on the indies that are friends of mine that I'm like, these guys are money. This is who you have to focus your whole shit around. This is what you have to do if you want to build a brand. These are the guys. Those are the guys that are going to get you there. And what happens? McIntosh could be a future champion. Bowens is fucking on fire. And Moff is the beast that you know him as. And I've talked up those guys. Have any of those guys talked up me? I don't know. And I don't think so. Maybe Bowens, because you know I'm working in the same agency as him as far as talent. But like, you know, I've done a lot of favors for a lot of people, man. I have. And either they turn out to be decent things for them or they turn out to be nothing. But the fact is that I tried. Now, I said a lot of this stuff on my previous deleted podcast, but I was fucking angry. And I was saying, you know, fuck you, you know, blah, 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 suck it, crotch job shit. But you know what? It's all good. It really is. And the people that I brought into to WrestlePro, you know, whether you be podcaster or I recommend you for a certain role or whatever the case may be, you know, I did that as a favor. And I did that because I thought you were good and that you needed a boost. And yeah, it might have cost you a couple bucks, but guess what, man? I paid for wrestling training for fucking 3 years, 4 years. You know, things that you want cost money. You know, I pay for headshots. I pay for voiceover the fucking demo reels that my buddy can edit. Like, I pay for shit. I just offered that Giancarlo guy fucking money to put a reel together for me. For my announcing and my fucking ring announcing. You know, you got to pay. The way of the world, man. So I don't want to be looked at like, oh, well, you know, we're paying this, so we should get this. Like, nah, man. Nah. I'm sorry. You paid to have a service, and I did my best for you. But, you know, people take shots, and people just get bitter and nasty, and that's totally cool, too. I'm not going to fault them for it. Maybe they're upset with certain things. There's always two sides to every story. They came at me last, you know, a couple people came up at me last show with their displeasure of how they're treated. And then, you know, I go to the bar after the show and I'm told that, you know, it wasn't even close to what I was told. So it's like, you know, enough, you know, I've done a lot of fucking favors for a lot of people. That shit stops. You know, I always keep my boys close. The McIntoshes and the Bowens of the world and the Paynes and my boys. Like, I will always, always, always go to bat for you. I will always promote you guys. You guys are my friends, my actual friends, not just coworkers in wrestling, but like everybody else that I've said, hey, why don't you jump on commentary? Why don't you do this with me? You know, we'll have fun. That stops. I'm doing every single match on Friday by myself. And I don't give a shit. I truly don't care. I'm not going to sit there and be like, hey, you can do this. Yeah, come on over here. Nah, man. Days are over because, you know what? I've scratched and clawed and done the best I could in this world of pro wrestling. And I've done it all myself. And like, my trainers and my mentors, those are the guys that got me on the right path and set me up for success. But everything else that I've done in wrestling and in broadcasting and in announcing and in podcasting, I've done it all myself. So think about that before you bitch and whine about the fucking booking you're not going to get on a random Saturday in fucking January or whatever the case may be. I did everything my fucking self. I didn't kiss any ass, even though people say I have. It just so happens that I'm fucking friends with the owner of the company because I've been around since its inception. So you build a friendship, for Christ's sakes. You build a friendship. Am I wrong? If I had to go to WrestlePro and not fuck like every event and not shake hands and just fucking kind of put my head down, like, all right, I'm just here to go to work, like some guys do. I built a relationship with a lot of people over there, and I've been very nice to everybody, and they've stomped on me, and they've walked all over me. They've taken advantage of me, and they haven't fucking shown me the same respect that I've showed them. That's the truth. Whether they like to admit it or not, some can laugh, and some can make jokes about me, or knock my claim to fames, or my Hacksaw Jim Duggan matches, and my fucking this, that, and the other, and how I've been kicked out 3 times or whatever. You can make fun of all that shit you want, man. That's totally cool, and I'm all about that. I'm very okay with that. And I'm very okay with you guys talking shit. I'm very okay with that. From now on, I'm okay with that. Because I truly, truly believe in karma, and that shit will bite you a lot harder than you tried to bite me. I'll be back. Back little was that too selfish of me to play my own fucking theme music? Yeah, it probably was. Not gonna get more into what I just talked about for however long that was. It's too negative. It's too negative for me, and I'm not about that, man. I'm a motivator. I'm an inspirational kind of guy. And if you've listened to the first 40 episodes of this very podcast, you know that too. So. Anywho, all right, getting into what I actually wanted to talk to, goals for 2018, talked about that. Wow, there's a lot of stuff that I was going to talk about that, like I said, deleted. What's going on this weekend? Well, that's easy. WrestlePro is back in Brooklyn and back in Rahway on December 8th and 9th. You can get your tickets, WrestleProOnline.com. We are at show week, so when you're listening to this, it's Wednesday, so hurry the fuck up. What are you waiting for? We're going to have a really good time. You know, stacked car from top to bottom. A lot of cool shit. Impact's taping there. Alberto Del Rio or El Patron, or whatever he's going by now, is going for the Impact Wrestling title against Eli Drake. Then Moff gets Eli Drake on Friday, and like there's an Eli Drake seminar. Eli Drake is all over this fucking thing, and justifiably so. He's a star. But yeah, so that's this week. I'm also going to the Giants and Cowboys game. Just when you thought, like, is he going to go a whole podcast without not talking about the Cowboys? Yeah, no. Last I left you, I believe there was, you know, the season was on the line against the Redskins on last Thursday night. Cowboys took care of business. And you know, they put a little hope in the glass of all Cowboy fans. It's a very slim chance to make the playoffs. Too many teams beat the Cowboys earlier on in the year where the tiebreakers just wouldn't go our way. A lot can happen. I mean, things can happen. The bigger story, obviously, you know, and I talked about this last week, was the Eli Manning benching. Geno Smith went in there, threw up a stinker, and the Giants moved to 2-10. Now, they fucking clean house. A couple weeks too late, in my opinion. Ben McAdoo lost his team months ago. Like I said, it all started when you let your entire squad or your receiving core go out and celebrate on a boat on a Sunday before a Sunday game. You know, I don't give a shit. Like, whenever I go out and I drink and I party, I'm hurting for the next couple days. So, you know, let's contribute that to a poor, poor game and a performance in Green Bay. But yeah, no discipline there. And then Odell Beckham has his, you know, his thing where he's just all about me and all eyes on me kind of thing. And it's a very selfish player. And you know, his drama is not good for the game, and it's not good for the Giants. And then, you know, the defensive backs are getting suspended, and this guy said that, and this and the other, blah, 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 blah. One thing leads to another. McAdoo lost his fucking entire team. And, I think that the Giants, unfortunately, are probably going to play some inspired football on Sunday, which leads to me to believe that Dallas is in for a treat. The Cowboys are 6-6. Obviously, if they run the table and they went out and go 10-6, they have that far off chance. Can they do that? I think the schedule plays into it where they can. I think the last game of the year against the Eagles will not matter for the Eagles. I think they're going to be the number one or number two seeds. They'll have the bye. Will they be playing for home field? Then yes, they'll be playing all their stars. But maybe the Cowboys do better. You know, Zeke comes back on Christmas Eve. If they can get away with a win in New York, and I say get away with it because I truly think it's going to be a lot closer than some people think, only because, like I said, new coach, new coordinator, new fucking new GM, and Eli's back. Eli, you know, the benching's over, and he's going to be the quarterback of the Giants again. Hooray, you know, Eli's fucking making his triumphant return, you know, and that spells disaster for the Cowboys. It really does. But, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. Then they got the Raiders next week on Sunday Night Football, which has not been flexed out. It's going to stay Sunday Night Football, thank God, because my wife and her wonderful, wonderful parents do something every year. I truly don't know why they still continue to do it on Sundays. I digress. I can't, you know, there's only certain things I can control. And that's not one of them. So there's a event and a dinner and all sorts of shit where it's in Trenton. So I got to book out of there by at least like 7:30 to get home for the game to watch with my old man. Yes, the Cowboys come first. just kidding. She doesn't listen. It doesn't matter. But anyway, so yeah, that's the Cowboys stuff. I will get to your questions, actually, which, believe it or not, there were a few, which makes me happy. It means that some people give a fuck, and that's cool, too. Where are they? I got to scroll back. And dead air. Here we go. Sorry. Matt Bowman. It was the Shining Wizards, Matt. He's one of the hosts on the Shining Wizards podcast. Two questions. When did everybody become so fucking sensitive? Amen to the fucking Matt. I spoke a little bit about that previously and before I went to break. I think it's just, you know, it sucks because I see that in the school systems now as I'm around a lot of kids and a lot of people complaining and a lot of people just bitching and whining. And this one bullied me. This one's bullying me. Like, I heard three instances today and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Whatever happened to just going and like Joey getting bullied by fucking Steve over there and just Joey walking up to him and just bam, right in the fucking face. Just one shot, you know, like I don't promote student violence or anything like that. But like, that's how I settled it back in the day, man. If somebody was talking shit, I would fight them. Would I win? Not necessarily win every fight, but I was in it. Okay. I remember, I think it was one day I was walking home from middle school. So I had to be, I think it was seventh grade. And this kid, and not to sidetrack it, but like it's funny. This kid was talking shit all day. He was talking shit to me in gym class. He was talking shit just the entire day. So finally, we're walking home. There's like a hill behind the middle school that we all go to after school. And we all have to walk up the hill and then walk the side street. And everybody goes their merry way. So I see this kid and I'm with a bunch of my friends. And the kid was like, you know, he didn't say anything. He said something about my skill in basketball. Which again, I'm a white kid. I was short back then, not the best basketball player in the world. I can make a fucking 3-pointer. I just, you know, my stamina probably wasn't good. Whatever. He says something like that. And I was like, dude, you fucking suck at everything you've done. And then he said, your mom sucks. And then that was it. That's all it took. And I was like, what? And I went up there and I popped him right in the fucking face and he dropped like a fucking ton of bricks. I was 1-0. TKO knockout. Okay, so that's how I settled it back then. I'm not telling any of my students to go fight, but I'm saying, like, stop being so fucking soft. And it comes from at home. You know, the parents at home nowadays are just, like, coddling their fucking kids. And I think my friends now that are having children, my generation that are having children, maybe we can flip it. You know what I mean? Like the Chris Paynes and the Craig Steeles and myself when I have a kid and whoever else, we can raise our sons to be a little fucking tougher and not coddle them. And then we'll have those schoolyard fights again. We'll fucking figure it out. And everybody will stop being such a bitch and sensitive to everything. And like I said, starts at home, you know, and it goes all the way to the fucking NFL, which I believe his next question is the NFL related. And it actually comes on the heels of a Pittsburgh Steelers Bengals game that I watched last night that just got completely fucking ugly. But he goes, on a serious note, do you ever think you will watch less of the NFL? Too many penalties, bad refereeing, and it's every week. It makes it hard to watch. I said the same thing to my brother last night. I texted him. I said, do the Bengals really have 153 penalty yards right now? Like, is that real life? That means there's a penalty on every other play, if that, more than that. And I'm like, oh my God. And some of the calls are justified. Some of them aren't. Juju Smith-Schuster has been suspended for a game for the hit that he laid on Vontaze Burfict. And I'm sitting here like, wait a minute. This is like a little karma, which Antonio Brown has said on record, that it was karma that Vontaze Burfict was knocked the fuck out because he's been the one that's been biting people's fingers on their piles and trying to rip people's ankles off. He's been the piece of shit like Ndamukong Suh. And, you know, and look at Gronk. For Christ's sake, Gronk just dropping a fucking forearm with that big ass metal arm, like the Luger arm he's got going on, knocking some guy silly. The NFL, it's got some thugs in it, man. It really does. And it really has some shitty, shitty people in the league. And Gronk is categorized with one of them. This isn't a race thing. This is just saying, if you're a piece of shit, maybe you need to get out of the league and maybe it needs to cost you money. Cause when you hit these divas in their pockets, man, boy, they sing a different tune. Will I ever stop watching the NFL? No. I think that's one of my One of the things I've been raised on, that it's one of the things that I've loved my entire life. I've obviously enjoyed more football when I was a kid because of the success of the Dallas Cowboys. But in any event, between the fantasy football and which I'm in the playoffs 2 out of 3 leagues, so suck it, Raleigh. But overall, just like the game itself of football is something I really have cherished my entire life. So I will not watch it. I will get a little pissed off about it, but whatever the case. JP Mayer, how are you, JP? I know you're a Cowboys fan, but what are your thoughts about Giants firing McAdoo and Reese? Well, it was needed. It was too late. You know, it was definitely needed. They did it. They tried to save face, I guess, in retrospect. I guess, you know, the Maras and the Tishes who have met, and then are really good people. But, like, you know, to do it now, you know, after the benching of Eli and all this other shit, it's like, you're a little too late, pal. But they're gone, and hopefully the Giants, you know, for the Giants fan base, I hope they rebuild and they become competitive. Do I hope they lose every fucking game for the rest of their lives? Yes, I hate the fucking Giants. It's just the way it is. But, you know, every team goes through these growing pains, and I think it's a good step in the right direction. Mike Malario, 2 questions, one professional, one personal. Favorite match you've called so far? To be honest with you, I think the barbed wire match between Moff and Pat is something I'm really proud of. But I'm also proud of a couple other shiny moments. Jack Swagger, Bobby Wayward, which we've not released yet. It's something that I've watched back, and me and Eddie are really, really happy with how it went down. There's been a lot of matches within the last year and a half where they're very memorable. You know, when I was a big Ryback fan, I was a fan of when he first came in with Pat and a lot of his matches, especially against Dan Moff. That was something special. I actually did commentary with Matt McIntosh on that one, so that was actually pretty cool. But yeah, I guess that's, you know, top three right now. More to come. You know, I know there's going to be a lot more matches. Even some of the matches at Battle Club Pro have been something surreal. Any Anthony Bowens match is fun. You know, McIntosh, like I said, they're my friends, but at the same time, they're really fucking good. So it's very easy to call those matches. Question two, most surprising thing so far about being a homeowner. Surprising? Well, I wasn't surprised, but most annoying thing I can say is the fucking leaves. Like, my backyard is full of them. I'm not touching the backyard until that tree is done. There's a tree in my front yard that is almost done, but I left it to the very bare end, and I cleaned that shit mint. And within like 13 minutes, it was just as if I didn't touch it. But I guess the most surprising thing would be, I guess, the amount of the quiet. As much as that sounds kind of weird, the peace and quiet. I may live across the street from a high school, but you only hear the kids when they first come out of the school and they're all jazzed up because it's the fucking end of the day. But the peace and quiet, like right now I'm sitting in my office and yeah, I have headphones on, but if I took my headphones off, you don't hear nothing. You don't hear nothing. It was scary at first. You know, you're used to hearing the fucking family upstairs or the family next door or people outside or little yard workers or, well, I guess that was a kind of like a racist thing, little yard workers. But like, you know, I'm talking about just like the people that are just always around, even on certain streets, like my dad's street. He lives on a cutoff street. It's where I grew up, you know, so there's always traffic coming in and out. And you're always seeing cars, but like nothing, there's nothing here. And it's pretty awesome. Franklin Myers, my buddy Frankie, what's one thing you want to accomplish? Is the announcing, in the announcing world, who's one person you would love to call down to the ring? Oh, great. That's actually pretty cool. I want to be the voice of, you know what? It's hard to say, but I don't think I only say it's not far-fetched because Pat said it's not as far-fetched as I might think it is. But why not me standing in the middle of a WWE ring? Why not me standing in the middle of an octagon? Why not me standing in the middle of Madison Square Garden calling a boxing match? Why not me? With enough training and practice, and which I've been doing for a long time, I guess you never know. And I think to set your goals high is a good thing, and it's healthy. The chase, like I said, you know, earlier in this podcast, I'm bitching and moaning and being negative, but at the end of the day, the chase is what it's worth. You know, it's really worth the fun. And it's fun. Who's one person you'd like to call down to the ring? So I guess for intro purposes, Shawn Michaels, you know? Like, if Pat ever wanted to pay the fucking $400,000 this guy probably requires to be there, it would be something surreal. That's my favorite wrestler growing up. It's the reason I'm in wrestling is because of the Heartbreak Kid. So I guess that would be him. Jeremy Thompson, do you think you can get Tommy Wonsaw to do a Brother Love impression for an episode? Hooked on the character. Well, I don't really talk to Tommy as much as I'd like to. I haven't seen him in a while. I saw him at WrestlePro, but we don't really talk as much. So no, sorry. But that's going to really wrap it up for today. I know the first half of this episode, people are probably like, oh, you know, he's really negative and he's taking shots and this and that. And it's not really taking shots. It really isn't, man. Like, taking shots with me would be me messaging you and talking to you like a man, or you know, or seeing you at a show and talking to you like a man. If you thought for one second that, like, oh, is he talking about me? Oh, is that fucking guy talking about me? I'm not. Everything I said today was very general. And if you're guilty of doing certain things, like the tag of promotion, look, if it's worked for you, awesome. Awesome. If you don't know how to market yourself and this is the way you want to do it, great. Good for you, and I hope you land every single gig for the rest of your life. I don't agree with the process. I believe in hard work. I believe in marketing yourself. I believe in reaching out to people. I asked Joe Bellini of Warriors of Wrestling. I don't know if I said that in this podcast or the deleted one, but I wanted to work there. I hit him up. I don't hit him up with a fucking resume. I don't hit him up with 8x10s and fucking, here's my YouTube video. Like, no, it's me saying, hey, man, listen, I'm the guy at WrestlePro. I'd like to kind of expand. If you're interested, let's talk. He said no. They're all set. Okay, great. They're all set. I'm not going to fucking MF them to death. I'm like, oh, that fucking guy, I can't believe he didn't book me. Like, no, man, they're set. That's all good. Companies will be set in their ways. It's funny. Since I am social media Sturcio, according to Pat. So I do the WrestlePro Facebook page. So that means I get all the messages too. Every day. There's somebody else sending 5 to 7 pictures of themselves and a fucking laundry list of places they've worked, YouTube matches, countries they've worked in, whatever. It's every day. Every day somebody's trying to market themselves like that. And every day, Pat, myself, and Kevin giggle. We giggle, we laugh, and we're like, it's not the way to do it. It's not. Go to the school. Go to WrestlePro school. Go to Creator Pro school. There's one in New Jersey and there's one in New York. You want to get booked at the fucking Monster Factory? Go to their school. House of Hardcore? I don't think they have a school, but go to one of their shows. Help set up. That's how you do it. You don't sit there and say, please tag a promotion you'd like to see me at. It's not the way to do it, man. I'm telling you. It seems desperate. It seems like a cry for help. And it also says, not a lot of people know me, so get them to know me. 9 times out of 10, the wrestler is awful. Awful. And if it works for you, it works for you. Like I said, congratulations, man. I am not going to knock you individually for finding work, but I will knock the fucking lack of hustle. I will knock. And I don't give a shit if you're going to be like, well, you know, I put that up there and whoever they tag, I fucking go to their website and I shoot them a message. Go do the fucking research yourself, man. I've done everything myself. I'm not going to keep talking about that. But I mean, like, at the same time, like, I think my listeners have diminished over time. So I don't really care how many people listen to this. It's a good, good way to vent. I know there's loyal listeners. I know there's people that listen to it every week. I know there's people that have gone back and listened to it even more. And like I said, not trying to start fights with anybody. I'm really not. I'm just, you know, just got a tweet. Sorry. I'm not going to, you know, go back and forth with people and argue with people. It's just not my style. It's not my style. And, you know, like I said, man, if you think you're good at what you do, then let it show in your work. And, you know, don't cry for attention. It's annoying, especially guys that are good. That, you know, you're good, man. So why are you doing this? Like I said, people have, it was like an uproar yesterday or 2 days ago when they're like, well, it works sometimes. And I'm like, all right, okay, great. I also sometimes hit a three-point shot. You know what I mean? When I'm playing basketball. Or I sometimes fucking lift 300 pounds on a good day. You know what I mean? Like, it happens once in a while. Great. But really, what's that going to do for you in the end? Just make me sore. That's really it. You can follow me on Twitter, Dave Sturch, DaveSturch. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. Same thing, Dave Sturch. Follow this podcast, the B-Plus Player Radio Network, Shining Wizards Network. Check out all their podcasts, A Drink with Gino, A Genuine Taste of Wrestling with Sean Donovan, all the podcasts, Pat Buck's podcast, the Pat Buck Wrestle Pro Show, the Wizards podcast. I believe they're having Maxwell Jacob Feinstein on this week, or Freeman, you know, because he needs more fucking publicity. I love him to death. Miss the crap out of him, actually, even though I hate him at the same time. It's weird. It's a love-hate thing. But follow me on all the social medias, WrestlePROOnline.com for all your tickets and information for the upcoming shows. I will obviously give you one more episode before the year is out. But like I said, if I can leave you with anything, and it's not, like I said, I'm not trying to knock anybody or knock your ways. It's just my opinion. And my opinion is valid to some, and at some it's laughed at. And that's totally cool too. Like I said, I don't give a shit anymore. I really don't. You know, I'm going to continue to do my work. I'm going to continue to grind. I'm going to continue to dig deep and try to give a Grand Slam performance every single time I have anything to do with the world of sports and entertainment broadcasting. I'll see you guys all maybe next week, maybe 2 weeks, but before the end of the year. Don't stress too much about this fucking holiday season. Shop. Don't spend too much money. Don't put yourself in any debt. Well, put yourself in debt, but just pay that shit off quickly, because that can go south quick. All right, I'm rambling. I'll talk to you guys later.
Kane is in the building.
Trying to fuck with Hollywood Cole. I'm with Marla G, bro. Flying Holly Grove chicks to my Hollywood shows. And I wanna tell you something that you probably should know. This that Slumdog Millionaire Bollywood flow. And my real friends never hearing from me. Fake friends write the wrong answers on the mirror for me. That's why I pick and choose. I don't get shit confused. I got a small circle. I'm not with different crews. We walk the same path, but got on different shoes. Living in the same building, but we got different views. I got a couple cars I never get to use. Don't like my women single, I like my chicks in twos. And these days all the girls is down the road. I hit the strip club and all them bitches find a pole. Plus I've been sipping, so this shit is moving kinda slow. Just tell my girl to tell a friend that it's time to go. Now tell me how you love it. You know you at the top and all the heavens right above it. We own. It's young money, motherfucker. If you ain't running with it, run from it, motherfucker. Alright, now somebody show some money in this bitch. And I got my bees with me like some honey in this bitch. Shit, dick. I got my gun in my boot purse. And I don't bust back because I shoot first. Meet me on the fresh train. Yes, I'm in the building. You just on the list of guest names. And all of my riders do not give a fuck. X Games. Guns turn you boys into pussies. Sex change. And I smoke till I got chest pains. And you niggas know I rep my gang like Jesse James. Women are possessive and they wanna possess Wayne. I've been fly so long I fell asleep on the fucking plane. Skinny pants and some Vans. Call me Triple A, get my advance in advance. Amen. As the world spinning, dance in my hands. Life is a beach, I'm just playing in the sand. Wake up and smell a pussy. You niggas can't see me, but never overlook me. I'm on the paper trail and ain't no telling where it took me. Yeah, and I ain't a killer, but don't push me. Now tell me how you love it. You know you at the top and all the heavens right above it. We own. It's young money, motherfucker. If you ain't running with it, run from it, motherfucker. Alright, now somebody show some money in this bitch. And I got my bees with me like some honey in this bitch. Shit, dig. I got my gun in my boot.
was never said. Beautiful black woman, I bet that bitch look better red. Limping off tour cause I made more off my second leg. Motherfucking Birdman Jr., 11th grade. Ball on automatic start. I can hand it to Drake or do a quarterback draw. Wildcat offense, check the paw prints. We in the building, you niggas in apartments. Now come on, be my blood donor. Flow so nice, you ain't gotta put a rug on her. Do it big and let the small fall under that. Damn, where you stumbled at? From where they make gumbo at? Hang, got the fucking beat jumping like a jumping jack. And you know me, I get on this bitch and have a heart attack. Hip hop, I'm the heart of that. Nigga, nothing short of that. President Carter, Young Money Democrat. Now tell me how you love it. You know you at the top and only everybody above it. We own.